Here we go.
Sweet, we're back on. Alrighty. Thanks for tuning in again, guys. We've got two special guests today. Sorry, if you hear this noise, it's me rubbing two VB lids together. I'll stop doing that now. We've got Trent and Todd here from the 440.
Welcome, boys.
G'day.
You can say hello.
How are you?
Hi.
Hi.
They can't see you.
It's Trent.
Yeah.
He's just waved at the camera.
We're waving at the camera.
The microphone.
Yeah.
We're off to the start.
Microphone sitting on a box of Kleenex.
So people would know you guys. If they know you, they know you from the 440. So what's the 440?
Yeah.
There you go, mate.
So 440 is it's a community running club. It's Trent talking.
He just waved at the microphone.
So I started it a few years ago after I'd been doing preparing for a half marathon.
Mm.
I used to run the Bronny Car Park, which is 440 metres top to bottom to top.
Yep. Is that how it got its name?
Yeah. So we took it off the track session of 10 400s.
Yep.
And we put on the hill.
Yep.
We'd sprint up at the top, walk back, and we do it every week. And I placed top 10 half marathon that year in Canberra at 85 kilos. And we've spoken about this before, but to me it opened my eyes that you don't have to do lots of running. I've done so many different sports over the years. I then turned it into a loop run because I kept doing it on a Saturday morning, enjoyed it. Fast forward, played around with it. Toddy and I know each other on and off for the few years. We reconnected and we started just having fun with it and inviting our friends more social media, Instagram stuff. And, here we are today talking about it. It's growing. It's an inclusive community run is the way we look at it, to summarise it. And it's open to everyone and anyone.
At what time of day?
First one was 5.
5 a.m.
We don't care what time the other operators open. There's that because it sounds silly, but it has to fall in line with when the local coffee shop opens up, because it's part of the experience.
Makes sense.
So we leave it with them because it's their baby.
Yeah. So when you say leave it with them, you're talking about other 440 run clubs opening up.
Yeah.
Yep.
How many you got?
So we've got 15 at the moment.
Yeah.
As we talk to you guys, there's 16 coming this weekend and 17 the week after.
Sweet.
The landscape's pretty cool. It's all through Australia. So we've got a lot around New South Wales and around Bronte. So we've got Mossman, Manly, Bronte, Balgowlah, Parramatta, soon to come.
Yeah.
Then we're up in Cairns, Miami on the Gold Coast, another one in Brizzy. Go over to Adelaide in Seacliff. Then we've got Cottesloe in WA. I'm going to leave one out here. We've got Melbourne, Maribyrnong, South Yarra. And then we're over the ditch.
Well, you missed Canada Bay again.
Canada Bay's coming. Over the ditch, yeah. Canada Bay. good save. Canada Bay's where I grew up too, so I should really get that right. New York City, LA.
Yep.
And we're just trialing some over in some other parts of the world, like San Francisco, Vancouver, Singapore, based off a formula that we're actually not heavily involved in.
Yeah. Yep.
To try and see the passive growth.
Yeah.
To say, okay, cool. Trent, you're over in wherever you are, start running it. This is how you run it and set it up. Come back to us and let us know how that's going. So that's kind of cool because then we get to see, well, if it's going to grow the way we want it to grow. It's sort of quite organic and quite passive in its approach.
Yeah, so the thing I love about this is it's free and it's so inclusive, and I've never turned up to a run club for the first time knowing no one and felt like super included.
Yeah.
Like it kind of easy for me because I'm a runner. I feel comfortable at these events, but like I felt like I was in a family when I turned up to my first 440.
Yeah.
It was pretty dope.
When was it? When did you turn up?
6 weeks ago maybe.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, recently. Cool. That was rad. I love it. I've tried to come so many times that I'm just sleepy. but you're not doing it for profit. You're doing it for like inclusiveness and get people moving. And so I don't know. Tell us about that. Tell us why you're doing it. What the motivation is for you?
It just started with just you.
Yeah. So I'm 40 now, and I celebrate it this year.
Tell them how you celebrated it.
I said, yeah, so I did 40 laps on my birthday. And look, to be honest.
And I was next to him.
The best part about it was not doing the 40 laps. The best part about it was a real slap in the face in a good way. We turned up at 3 a.m. There was like 25 people there.
Really?
And, you know, this has obviously taken time to get that point, but everyone that turned up at 3 a.m. wanted to do more than their normal 10.
Mm.
And I guess for me, you know, I found, and so it's totally, we've found something we're passionate about and gives us purpose, and it's something we want to do, you know, for as long as we can.
Mm.
So I guess the background for me, why I pushed it, and you know, I'm lucky that, you know, Todd and I met and became really good mates. We share the same passion, and it's simple. We like helping people move. We like helping restore people's confidence. We both grew up separately, but in environments where it was group training. And the thing is that group training's been around for centuries, and it will always remain. It's still the last thing standing, in my opinion, in health and fitness. So I grew up with training with your mates, training with my old man. He dragged everyone along. He was inclusive. He was hard to deal with, but he was inclusive.
Yeah.
So I took that side of things, and I thought, well, no one's doing this. No one's allowing people to turn up unjudged.
Yeah.
Mm.
Then, you know, we've spoken about this recently, how it started. I was in a pretty shitty place when I started it. One of the things we say is that we start in the dark. I was in a really dark spot.
Mm.
So it was born in the dark. We've got people turning up some weeks who are in dark places. So it resonates with me, it resonates with the members, but we run into the light.
Yeah,
it gets lighter. Right. And, you know, it's dark. No one can look at you.
Mm.
No one knows if it's you. We miss half the people because it's dark or half asleep.
Yeah.
So, and like you said, your experience, it was fun. It took time because people had to start trusting us.
Yeah.
Trust was the big thing. Like, why are you two guys turning up every week? What's in it for you? And we're like, we enjoy it. We're in it for our mental health.
Mm-hmm.
It works for us. So we go, hey, mate, let's just turn up regardless if anyone else turns up or not. And people started seeing that these guys are genuine. Let's help them.
Mm.
So we've infected the group. We've just, and we turn up. We shake our shit off our back. It doesn't matter how hard the week's been, we just turn up. We walk if we're exhausted.
Yeah.
And we believe in what we're doing. And we enjoy what we do. We make the most of that morning. So when you turned up, it's not like it was scripted. They share the same passion that we do. They like helping themselves and helping each other.
Yeah.
And it's just great.
Yeah. And I think it takes a certain, you know, want to do it, to rock up at 5 a.m. Like it's not like it's, it's 6:30 p.m. we'll do this and we'll have dinner. It's 5 a.m. Like, yeah,
and you see at 4:30 because we get there pretty early, and then at about 4:45, it's just like a flurry of cars.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all these people are jumping out of their cars with sheer excitement.
Yeah.
To go down and start this run, and then for someone who's just turned up and they see that, they go, "What is this all about?"
Yeah, yeah.
Because back in the day when Trent was doing it on his own, there was only him and maybe two or three others.
You get a grunt out of someone.
we
take off, and because it's a 700-meter track,
you lose
each other. You wouldn't see anyone.
No.
Yeah, you wouldn't talk. But so now it's like...
It's a constant stream.
150-plus people.
And
you're getting bum-tapped, you're getting tapped on the back, you're getting encouraged, you're getting people having conversations and connecting, whether they're walking, running, shuffling, it doesn't matter. As soon as they get on that track, they feel like, I can do whatever I need to do.
Yeah.
I'm here.
And it's the least non-judgmental running group.
Yeah, totally.
I think I've seen dudes sprinting it. I've seen kids walking or running down the hill and walking back up with mom. And I've kind of like old people there as well. And it's because it's literally in the dark. Like, I don't know if I'm standing next to my best mate or not.
Yeah.
You can turn up and no one knows who you are. Then the sun comes up and high fives at the end. Like, it's
We met Jared the other week, and one of the things that Toddy and I love doing is we like listening to people's stories. So we'll pull up next to someone. They might tell us to get lost, but we met Jared the other week, 75 years of age.
Fair income.
You know, and
parked in the disabled spot.
Wow. And we,
does he have a sticker?
Yeah, he did. He's genuine. Like, you know, he's got that all. And you know, but he started running at 40. He told us how many city service he's done. We love that this information, these stories. His son-in-law brought him. How did you get here? So we want to know how people got there. Yeah. We want to hear people's stories because it's not about us. We just disconnected from the whole thing.
Mm.
This thing's bigger than us, and we keep saying that. Like, we're intimidated by it because people get to feed off other people's stories.
Yeah.
And there's stories that people are too scared to talk about because they're ashamed. I was one of those people, about your history and how you get things and, you know, things you've done in your life you're not proud of. But you get to share them. They go, shit, I've done the same thing. Cool. Mm. Get on board. Mm. You're in the right place.
Yeah.
Shake it off. Have fun. You can't run. Cool. We won't show specifically how to run, but we'll encourage you to move.
Yeah.
Guaranteed, everyone that's told us they can't run are now running. And then, you know, they have either entered a race or about to enter a race. They've bought running shoes. They've bought active wear.
Yeah.
They feel and look the part, and all they did was turn up. They took a chance. We opened a door for them, but they still have to walk through and they still have to do all the work.
That's it.
That's what we love about it.
You can have quite a profound effect on someone's life. Like, you're in a dark place, and this has helped you along personally. Mm. You're doing that for other people. And I guess being able to share that around the world, like,
everyone's got their story, right?
Yeah.
But that's what we are. We're an events business, but we're a storytelling business as well. Mm-hmm. Like, in terms of, and a community, we're like, not so much that business side of things, but people want to know, like, all right, what's Trent's story? What's, you know, what's going on? And then, now I can turn up.
Yeah,
a lot of people have said to us at the start, no, you know, I've got to be fit to come down to that. And that was probably the perception of, in the earlier days, like maybe 6 to maybe 8 months ago, there was a lot of like fit sort of people in the photos and things like that. Now that started to change, I guess, that stereotype of fitness.
Yeah.
Whereas, we're fit, we want to move, but it doesn't matter how you look or what sort of position you're at in your fitness, come down and just be a part of it. You can come down and be a volunteer. You can come down and shake hands with someone or just, you know, have a chat.
We've seen this whole community aspect of it explode with Parkrun, and I feel like this is like, it's like a different evolution to Parkrun in a way. Parkrun's all about inclusivity. Is that a word?
Inclusivity.
Like getting 80-year-olds to run 5K is like incredible. And like 7-year-olds to run 5K is incredible. And you're doing that as well with the same vehicle of running, but in a just slightly different way. You get up at 5 a.m. you start in the dark. Like I think that's epic.
Yeah.
We have fun. Like we're constantly like, you know, we're driving around, I'm going, what do you think about this? I'll send him a message. And
tell them what you call it though.
We call it Motka, marketing on the go.
Motka.
Yeah.
Trademarked.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is, like, part of my history was, and my story was, I was stuck in a corporate job that I was unhappy with myself.
Mm.
I've always been around fitness, and everyone's just going, mate, you should be doing that. I'm like, because I didn't have a vision, and I was full of fear, didn't want to take a chance.
Mm.
I wanted to do something creative. I'd never done anything creative. And then I did take a chance. And then that taking the leap of faith, getting out of something I was unhappy with, doing something I was passionate about, practicing a lot of mindfulness that I do, my head exploded and it's full of ideas. We love being creative. We don't think that we're the most creative duo, but we have fun and we banter it. And we've somehow found a rhythm where people get what we're talking about, even though we don't understand what we're saying most of the time. And
it just comes out.
And people, well, we realise that every people have stories that are like struggling and they're going, shit, we relate to you guys. And we're only feeding off that. And this is stuff that I've, like I said, a guy called George Daughtry, and if you do your research on him, he was one of the pioneers of fitness in Australia. He was the man behind conditioning. He conditioned Olympic athletes, rugby league players. I was training with him up to the age of 80. And one of the things we used to scream out, you'd have 30 guys in cozzies, on white socks, singlets, in city tats, screaming out, this is good for me.
Mm.
And the idea behind that, we were yelling out these words when we were in pain and it was hurting and we were fatigued. Mm. And there was just this chant, and I'll never forget it. I use it now.
Yeah, I've seen
it.
It's on your shoe.
It's on our shoe. It's on my shoe.
He paced me in the Caesar Surf. And really? I got the best time I've ever run in my Caesar Surf history.
Right.
Which is not a lot, but it was a decent time. But he took his watch off me and said, no, I'll pace you. And then all he kept saying was, hey, feeling fresh. This is good for me. You've done the work. And we got that from... Obviously, you get that from George, but there was Heather Toyland as well that won 2-seater surfs and
Commonwealth Games. Yeah.
So she used to say that to herself in the marathon. And what, as soon as he said that to me when I was coming, like after heartbreak, I got up the top of the hill and he goes, how you feeling? And I go, I couldn't get the words out. And he goes, how you feeling? I go, I'm feeling fresh. And straight away, he said, my body shape just changed.
Yeah.
And I went into this, I'm actually good.
Yeah.
So, for me, that really helped. And if it's helping someone coming down to a run club, like he did it last week with Trenton last week with another guy that comes down called Ash, run 10 laps. And he's never run 10 laps before. But he was sitting with him saying all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it got him through.
Yeah, and it's group training.
When the human body responds to dialogue. And I've done some work with an energy healer, and I believe it, you know. We're made up of dialogue, whether it's your belief systems from a child or what you've been, you know, your parents have told you what's right or wrong.
Yeah.
And we have ability as human beings to rewire yourself. I'm a living testament to that. And the skeptics don't believe that. Whether it's right or wrong, my view on it works. It's working for us. Our community responds to it. And what I've done is just picked up bits and pieces along. Like this stuff I've taken from my dad, from George, from Toddy, all these amazing people. Whether or not I believe or back some of it, doesn't matter. We just want to keep this simple. Turn up, have fun. Realize that you don't have to deal with any of your stuff, external stuff going on during that time with us. You're in a safe place.
Yeah.
You won't be judged. We get some people come down, make a bit of noise, and it's not the right time for them to be there.
Yeah.
We want people to – this is the confusing part which we try and explain is when we say this is good for me, it is good for you. We want it to be good for you because if you do nothing more than look after yourself, get yourself there, and you get better, then the people around you get the best version of you. You don't have to be there for me. We don't expect you to be there for Todd and I. That's fine. We're happy to run it on our own. I'm happy to run on my own. I can sit with myself. And we want to pass that on so that when you start feeling obligated, then that creates stress and anxiety. We don't want that. We want you to just, hey, turn up, do one lap, cool. I'll pat you on the back. You don't need a pat on the back? Good. Go for a swim. You want to talk to us? Don't. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it doesn't bother us. And people look at us going, what's wrong with you guys? Well, it doesn't matter. There's no cameras. There's no timing.
Yeah.
It's turn up, don't turn up. Whatever.
I think a big result of that as well is when you come down to one of our run clubs, and that's around the world, and we've really tried to push this message on, there's no ego.
Yeah.
As soon as you remove an ego out of that, I guess the cause of most ego is fear, right?
Mm.
So a lot of people that are coming down have got that ego about them. It's like, well, no, I've got to do it this way because something else is playing on that, you know, that emotion, right? Mm. So when we come down, we're raw. We tell it how it is.
Yeah.
And we're like, hey, we're feeling really shit today, but we're going to walk it. Or, hey, we're going to have a crack. But that's infectious because then people go, oh, they're actually being really true to themselves.
Mm.
We're not going down to break times and, you know, to do all that sort of stuff. We're bringing people together.
Yeah.
And we're taking out the ego and they go, cool. And then you just get this unload of, like, emotion from people because it's just comfortable.
Well, something we talk about at work quite a bit is that if you're vulnerable, that creates a sense of trust.
Totally.
Yeah. Like,
and so much honour in being vulnerable right? Like, that's a very honourable trait to do it. And as a, you know, as humans, when you get older, you tend to want to be like that a little bit more, right?
Yeah.
We're having fun. Like, I'll give you a classic example. Like, we've got this thing we're doing at the moment, and we say hi. We put our hand up, we say hi, and we're putting on our photos. We're like, what are you doing? And part of it, you know, we're having fun. We're being silly. It may not make sense.
Yeah.
But there's a hidden agenda behind everything we do. And we say it, like, before we start, say hi. You think about, you're like, this whole thing's layered, and you get people turning up to gyms that are intimidated. First of all, they walk into any sort of group fitness and they feel intimidated. First thing that doesn't happen is anyone says hi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So terrified, no one welcomes them. The experience is awful. Now, we can fall into the same category if we're not careful. So we're doing this hi thing. And it's like saying, say hi. Say hi to someone.
Yeah.
And so we now get our whole group to say hi.
To randoms, like you just go and say hi to a stranger.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is unplanned, but we just now, you know, we're in Melbourne, we're working and have some meetings last week, and every photo we got every meeting we had with these companies doing hi. And they're buying into it.
Yeah.
We're flying blind with this stuff, but we're looking at things that helping people connect and something to remember us by. Well, they're the blokes that say hi. We don't know what it means, but it gets a smile.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things before we hit the photo, they go, oh, they do this thing where they put their hands up.
And we go left or right, and they're right.
But then the feeling you got, like, everyone just went, oh, yeah, that's cool. We'll do that. Like, we don't do it to be cool. It's just that's how we do it. Like, we just do it, and it creates a conversation.
Yeah.
Definitely. Right. That's like treating other humans as humans. Cool.
Exactly.
Just acknowledging but it's something that they were doing centuries ago, saying hi.
It's universally accepted everywhere.
But, you know, for whatever reason, who cares why, people stop doing the simple things, the meet and greet. Mm. We're busy. We get it. You know, technology, everyone's working longer hours and stuff. And this is the funny thing we find humorous is that we haven't reinvented the wheel, and I didn't want to reinvent the wheel. I didn't want to come up with a new type of training. I didn't want to do something that's easy and simple. Run, move, be nice. That's it. And we do it once a week. If that restores someone's confidence to be able to go and play indoor soccer again, enter a triathlon, go and do winter swimming, start a new sport, then
even just a reason to get out of bed, whatever it might be.
100%.
Changes communities. And this is why we want to get it around the world, because it's our contribution.
Yeah.
Not here to do anything great or historic. It's just, it's what we can do within, it's within our power. And that's the main driver.
Mm.
I think as well too, when you brought up like other run groups and things like that, we're either a layout to the run group, to another run group, just say like a Hunter Athletics.
Yeah.
Or we're just a stepping stone into, like, we want to collaborate with these, or with everyone else. Like it's, we're kind of seeing ourselves as the glue between all of it, because we're so broad. You can come down and you can sprint it.
Yeah.
Or you can come down and walk it, or you can come down and just volunteer at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, we cover everything. Yeah. So it's pretty cool that we can talk about like other run groups and then sort of say, okay, we want to work with you guys.
Yeah.
How do we help you?
Yeah.
Or how can you help us?
Like you're not fighting for space in the running community, right?
They come down and break our records.
That's like, great. And it's awesome.
But they do it. The thing that took us by surprise, I know I had my guard up expecting, you know, guys coming out with bad attitudes and push around the bully mentality. We haven't had any instances where we've had to say, hey, like, pull your head in. We've had a couple of amazing runs. I think a guy last weekend equaled the record.
That Chapo.
They come down, and here's the thing which makes it hard. They've come at a time where we've got 150 people. If they'd come 12 months ago, they would have had 30 people to run around. So it's
harder.
They're actually covering more distance, got a zigzag. But they're not bumping people out of the way. They're going, we want to be part, we want to support you. We want to break your record. And we're like, if you can do that and be nice, you're a legend. And we want people like you.
And that's the sort of environment where the fastest person is lapping the slowest person, but the fast person will say, well done, mate, to the slowest person.
And the slowest person is tapping the fast bloke going,
well done.
You're inspiring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't feel intimidated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's all about your energy and how they view what we've done and what we're doing is that they can come and sprint, break our record, go and have a coffee and go and do their track session.
Yeah.
So they're actually getting better because they're adding something else to their training regime.
Yeah.
And running hills, as you know, it makes you tough. It makes you fast.
Yeah.
And our testament last the other weekend for City to Serve, the overwhelming messages we received from our community. I'd be very surprised if not everyone from our community did their PB.
Yeah.
More importantly, found running up Heartbreak Hill and Everett Hill easy.
Hey, but go back one step as well. They've done their first City to Serve.
Yeah.
After being with us for like, there's one girl down there, Jodie, moved. I'm pretty sure she's moved to Maroubra for the 440 from Gosford. Came down at his birthday, got up at 1 a.m., got down there at 3 a.m. on her first 440 ever.
We call them frothers.
Yeah.
She's the ultimate frother in the best way. Yeah.
Ultimate ambassador.
An ultimate ambassador in ranch. She did a photo she put on her Instagram or a video of her running up this hill.
Yeah.
I think 12 months ago. Yeah. And then she's walking it. The other video on the other side, side by side, she's sprinting it.
All right. Yeah. So that's good.
Visually.
Yeah.
And everything is just like.
But we've seen a shift in her too. Like, you know, we're all getting to know one another, but they come there and everyone comes in different headspaces. And I remember talking to Toddy about Joe. It's like they come down and it's great, they get involved, but then she's got to jump in the car and drive 90 minutes back the other way. And
yeah. I'm
like, that's unreal. And like, imagine like the internal conversation you taught yourself, I know what I'm like. And then. You see them grow as well.
Mm.
You know, you can see them connecting with the community and they're outside their comfort zone.
Yeah.
So everyone down there on a Saturday has got a story. They've got their own stuff going on. And I think because we understand that, it allows people to feel safe.
Mm.
They don't ask for much. Some don't want to talk. Some people just hide in the shadows. It's cool. But they're getting better every week they turn up.
Yeah, cool. Where do you guys want to take this? Like, because there's future plans, I'm assuming.
Yeah, well, the first big goal we've got, well, we want to get 1 million people moving under the 440 banner.
A million people. Do you count? How do you count? You don't really count.
How do you count?
So we've got a tool coming that does that.
Is it a clicker?
It's a clicker. Yeah, it's a fob system. Nah,
start again. Yeah.
Everyone waves when they get there, and we count the hands. In the dark. we've got a platform about to come up in a couple of weeks. And it'll just basically be at any one point after that weekend, we'll be able to, I guess, flick a button and go, cool, we've got this many people running this week. And this is how many people members, we've got members under the 440. We had another goal that we wanted to get 50 clubs by the end of the year. And that was just a number that we gave between us. So we said, look, that'd be really cool. Same as when we said, oh, we've got 30 this week at Bronte. Let's get 60.
Yeah.
All right. If they tell another person, let's get 100. So it's the same mentality behind that. But we think it's quite achievable too with the landscape, the amount of people we've got running, the population, everyone around the world. And we just want to keep doing what we're doing and just keep growing.
Yeah.
So just inspire the guys that are coming down to each run and elevate those guys, elevate the community people and go, cool, you can actually go and do this.
Yeah.
So if you come, because the way Bronte grew so well is we had so many people from different parts of the world come down, experience it, and they were here either on, you know, 6 months, 12 months. So I'm going back home now. I want to go start one.
Yeah.
So that's how it started to grow.
Yeah.
So I think Byron was the first satellite one we put up.
Byron's the first one.
And then off the back of that, all these other ones have spawned off. People just come and experience in Bronte going, this is really cool. How do we want to, can we do this where we live?
Yeah.
So think about that and just expand that, because when they go, other people will go to destinations, especially like a Byron or in LA, they'll run and go, how do I do it? Cool. Yeah. You can go and do it in your town as well.
So do you just need a hill? Is that all you need?
Look, ideally, but if you don't have a hill, then it's just a loop.
Yeah.
You know, we laugh about the concept when some of our guys get a bit too tricky and we're like, you can run around a toilet block. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But if you talk about, like, one of the big things for us and why we're here today is, in this point, is that we're not experts in what we do. Certainly growing a business that, like, our perspective had to shift.
Mm.
So once we got new perspective, then the idea of 1 million people to us is not a big deal because we believe in what we're doing.
Yeah.
It gives us purpose. And because it's been authentic. We've got an advisory board, and an advisory board are made up of close people that know and love us, and they're the ones that keep us grounded. You know, we're flying blind.
Yeah.
We have, to a degree, put ourselves in other people's hands, but they're like, you'll do this. And it's led on to conversations, it's led on to meetings, it's led on to things that haven't worked out the way we planned, but we learn. We don't get frustrated. In anything that seems to be negative, we find positive.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's cool. We go, this is nuts. How do we, sitting in the steam room with this bloke, end up with a meeting next week to then an interview over here, to being offered a platform which we can, and we want this to be real, that we can at the touch of a button go, hey, we've had 880,000 people move in the last week. We've got 5,855 run clubs active. And we're serious about that, that we can actually show it and light the world up with lights of who's running.
Yeah, isn't that epic?
The big thing for us is not about the million people and you're running you down the street. It's how that, what's the end result? What do those communities look like? What's the mental health status like in those areas that are using this platform? It's free. It's for everyone to use. We want to see what that looks like.
Yeah.
You know, where the crime rates and you know, new businesses opening and support groups and, you know, even a rise in retail from activewear.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much stuff that stems from this. Like, look, it's a business we're running.
I think the thing that excites me is, like, Mike and I have spoken on this podcast a couple of times earlier about running for mental health.
Yeah.
Which is huge, which is, I think, for most runners, running has a small part to play in their mental health. For some runners, running, they'd run just for their mental health. And we know that it's like suicide is the biggest killer of young males.
Yeah.
It's in extraordinary, and you're doing something which empowers people to take control over their mental health. And that can go worldwide, and that's epic.
Yeah.
I saw you crack a smile, Trent, as Trent was just kind of speaking just before, he kind of almost like cracked a smile too, and I can see that.
Yeah, we're having fun. We're
very authentic with this.
Yeah, look, we do. We generally, and we've spoken about this before, like I was probably the last person to think I'd be doing something I love.
Yeah.
And when people hear people talk about it, that it drives you, it gets you out of bed, you're happy to lose sleep over it. We do. We'll get on a plane from being 4 days away, you know. Oh, we're sleeping tomorrow. We've got to get up.
Yeah.
That's the reality. We'll find sleep at some point. But we are getting pulled in so many directions, the right directions, that it's hard to say no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We look at what we're doing. Right, you give us an audience and we'll convert you into run bosses. Why? Because we want everyone to have this. Like, I don't want us to be the only running group that gets 150 people every Saturday, which is ridiculous. We're not a fad. We've got no gym.
If it was a fad, you would have
we
done.
Don't even have a
website.
Right. We still don't have a website.
It's going.
We don't have our own coffee shop. We're using public property to just move people.
Do you have council approval?
We don't.
I mean, no, he does, yeah.
Yeah, totally does.
We have had an incident with the local police, and when I say it wasn't an incident, it was well deserved. We had some people running on roads and stuff, and it was a learning thing for us, and we invited them to come down and check it out.
Yeah.
And there is, as you said, mental health, and there's no money being exchanged, and you know, we've got a couple of t-shirts we like to wear, but we invited them to come down, and they just you know, warned us and we actually ran into one of the, you know, advisors. I saw one of the lead guys at Waverley Police the other week, and he's like, "No, look, you guys are fine."
Yes,
yeah,
sweet.
Well, yeah, we get up, we run, we abide by the road rules, and we look out for each other, and we do. Safety does come first for us.
Yeah, we've got day jobs that we're and businesses that we're part of. You know, throughout the day, but we're putting our like our heart and soul into this thing, and it's like we go and do the day job, then you can't help but not think about this right now, because you just get the stories, we get like I'm on the 440 Instagram account, we're both on there, and the phones, like Trent would say, from Friday night it lights up till Sunday,
yeah.
Shit, story sharing, there's things coming here and there, there's alarms screenshots of alarms, there's people sleeping in their activewear, there's all that sort of stuff, and you can't help but have like a connection to all of that.
Yeah.
So during the week, like, I just can't wait for Saturday to get here.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, it's just infectious because it's affected in the best way all of like the businesses I'm involved with.
Yeah.
Family, friends, everything. Everyone's like, what is this thing you're doing? If they haven't heard about it, they're like, how do I get involved and how do I be a part of it? And you just can't help but not want to do something about that. So
it's cool when you do something you enjoy and make it a part of your life.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing for us is to try and do it full, like we're doing it full time, but we want to do it in such a larger capacity where we want to be traveling around the world spreading this message.
Yeah.
Telling people about it, telling people how good it is, and then empowering other people to go, cool, here it is, light the fire in that country, bang, away you go.
Yeah.
So
how are you doing that? How are you getting more started overseas?
Yeah.
If someone's listening to this in Cuba, how do they get it started?
Or the UK or the US or anywhere else?
This is the idea behind we're trying to create some content so if we're asleep, they can download a video from us.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're still learning, you know, what makes a good operator. But the big thing we've learned recently is that we heavily advise someone who's inquiring if they're a gym operator, which is probably the right candidate, don't do it on your own. Like, if you're a gym in an area, how many other blokes or friends do you know that own gyms? Get a pool them all in.
Mm.
Yeah.
Four gyms is better than one gym.
Yeah. Or a physio or something that deals in that health and fitness capacity that you're dealing with people day in, day out.
Yeah.
So.
And the other thing too, which goes deeper again, is that a lot of the ideas we're coming up with are just ideas. And you know, you hear about it with, you know, you've got good, you know, life coach and business coaches about visions, and we do it. We visualize everything we're doing. Mm. And what might seem crazy is we're now realizing it because, again, it's simple, but we're going against the grain of what's been done in society, like any business. And we come out with, like, all we want is audiences. So as Toddy said earlier, we're an events business. So it could be down to a shopping night with a sporting brand that offers us, for example, a discount.
Yeah.
We'll pass it on to the members and let's get 200 people in the store. Let's have, you know, some converter and some whatever. And it's us an opportunity to give back and say, hey, you're now running. You're now athletes. Everyone's an athlete.
Yeah.
You can't get around a bodgy old shoes anymore. Let's get you something neat. And it's like they feel good.
Yeah.
Then you feel part of a community.
Well, yeah, and there's also an education piece behind that too. Like, why do you go and wear those shoes, or why are we wearing those shorts, or what sort of, you know, protein am I taking after a certain run?
Mm.
But I think as well how we're growing it. Our events calendar next year is we're going to be on a plane, I think.
Gypsies.
2 weeks of every month
next
year, just from what we've already had discussions about, just events coming up. We need to be a part of these events.
Yeah.
And we need to be seen to be a part of these events because they're going to be like, cool, what are you guys doing? And they know we're coming and we're almost going to use it as a stepping stone to go, cool, let's put a 440 here, and let's really make this thing sing across the world.
We love running around in circles in the dark in Bronte.
Yeah.
But we can't grow it from Bronte. No. And we now realise we need to be on the road. We need audiences from corporate to schools, you name it. And we'll talk to anyone and everyone. So we are now in the process of working on how do we get in touch with global audiences, and we are being pulled by, you know, a lot of, you know, great businesses that share our vision, and we go, like, get us a jet. That's
all we want, is a jet. Get a jet and a chopper. You so get anyone is listening that has a jet and a chopper.
And an air conditioned bus. So it's like we start as a joke, but that's what we need. We need to be in front of people, and we can share our stories. Yeah. We can talk about how we got there, and we're only as good as our story. That's it. We're not there to sell them anything and say, hey, this works. This is good for your community. And we want to share it. Like, we're not, and not, you know, being negative, but there are people who have amazing skills out there in every industry, from fitness to whatever, and they don't share it.
Yeah.
They get so good at what they're doing, and they just become obsessed with it that the rest of the world's missing out. Like, we're only here for a short period.
Mm-hmm.
This will be our legacy. This will be around longer after us.
Yeah.
And we want to do this to the best of our ability, and have a ton of fun along the way.
It's kind of what we've done.
Yeah.
The podcast in a way.
Basically.
We started this because runners are stupid and they keep hurting themselves. And we're like, we know how to do less dumb shit with runners. Let's spread it. Let's tell them this is our legacy. And it's kind of, for us, it's been like jumping out of a window and then working out how to create a parachute.
Yeah. Right?
We kind of don't really know what we're doing. It's like hearing you guys talk, it's like, that's what we've done.
Trent would probably put me first, and then I'd cushion the fall, I'm a bit bigger.
Well, we have a joke, we like, you know, we just like, mate, just stick the mouth guard in, gaffer tape the ears back, jump in the cannon, just get shot out, and just, we just look ahead, like, we don't look behind.
Just,
and
as you're flying through, just say hello to everyone.
Yeah, just say hi, and we do, and we learn more about ourselves every week.
But I think if you're doing that from a place of authenticity, and if you genuinely enjoy what you do, man,
it'll grow because of that. Yeah. All you need is you wanting to do it, being passionate about it, and just wanting to share what you know.
Yeah.
And then shit will happen.
Yeah.
And you got to visualize it. I mean, you look back now, and it's actually a cool place for us to be in, because things and aspirations I had. One of them was I would want to wear a suit with sneakers back when I was in real estate. Well, I can probably do that now. we've got a mate who does suits and all that stuff, and we're like, that'd be great. Let's get a suit. But the underlying thing was I collect sneakers. I love sneakers. I want to wear them for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I can now do it.
Yeah.
I don't think I would annoy anyone turning up to a meeting in a pair of Nikes.
We're both ridiculously avid sneakerheads. Like, yeah. I think if you looked at, we've probably got more sneakers than socks.
More sneakers than cents.
That's right. But I mean, even in saying that, like, there is that we do have goals and structures set, but I think the way we execute it is very, not loose, but we're just going on feeling, and we're going on an adaptation as well. So we're like, cool, we need to go this way, and we need to be resilient in terms of, we need to be mandible in when something happens. Cool, we can bend out of shape and come back into shape.
Yeah.
So I think that we've got a lot of that in us as well. Like, nothing really phases us anymore, because we're like, cool, yep, if you don't want to talk to us, or if you don't want to be a part of it, that's totally fine.
If it doesn't feel right, we'll say no. And we're learning that now. Yeah. Like, we're going through that phase of, you know, when everyone's throwing lots of stuff at us, and it's just then, you know, getting through and seeing what works for us. That's a big thing for us.
Yeah.
It's a trust thing for us. And if we're going to be inclusive, we want to be inclusive with the right people. They have to trust us. We have to trust them.
Yeah, fair enough.
And for us, it's okay if we make mistakes and we go down the wrong path. It's okay. We'll just readjust, and we'll still get there. It doesn't matter how we get there. Yeah. We don't even know what the road looks like.
When are you going to have 100? When are you going to have Moon Runners?
2023.
Yeah.
2023.
Yeah, 2023. So
it doesn't relate to anything. It
gives
us some breathing space.
Yeah. we did a visualization between us about a week ago. And we went through that whole process, and we said, all right, by this date, we're going to be here. This is how many runners we're going to have. This is how many clubs we're going to have. This is how many schools we're going to be in.
Yeah.
These are the sort of people we're going to be involved. This is how many countries we're in. And we're just telling ourselves these things because it's a reality. Like, it can happen
that way.
So it's quite cool to think about. We sat back. I made him cry 3 times because I put him through the visualization. And because it's so real to us, it's like right there.
Yeah.
As opposed to going, oh yeah, we want to make $1 million. Like, it's not about that. We want to affect 1 million people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
when that's the motivation, that's so much deeper than earning some cash.
Totally right. Yeah,
and we're like, we've said, you know, loosely that, you know, we'll be at a 440 every Saturday somewhere in the world for the rest of our lives. We've then gone, okay, well, let's do better than that. He's watched the Iron Cowboy.
Oh,
yeah. He's inspired by a bloke that's run a marathon every
50 days.
And we've said, well, look, how cool will it be that we can do a 440 every Saturday in a different location for 52 weeks? So that means that, you know, like, we need an air traffic controller.
Someone who works in logistics.
But if
Alan Joyce from Qantas is listening, just send him an email. Send him a DM on Instagram.
Are we serious? We would use that as a PR to, obviously, one, talk about what we're doing, spread it. But we do it for a good cause.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. And we do it and have fun. So there's benefits to everyone. You know, it's not just being on a plane, but like, how cool would it be? Because this is what we've decided that we want to do. And you've got to evolve as people. You've got to evolve your business. And what a way to do it, come up with creative stuff. If we can convince someone that's madder than us to agree and help us, we got our shoes, we're ready to go, and we'll do it. And how does that impact people? How does that help people?
Yeah.
How many more million people do we get on board? How many more millions of people do we help?
That's a billion. We want the bill. Once we get the mill,
The bill. But literally, like, why not? Yeah, what's stopping you?
Correct.
Who's going to put that limit on you?
Yeah.
Epic. So. That's so cool. But I feel like we could talk for ages. It's been 45 minutes. What's this, our fourth longest ever? Maybe.
Thirds? Somewhere? I can't remember.
Too epic.
It's just so good to hear that. Sorry.
We almost went for 44 minutes, right?
Yeah. I looked at it, was like,
you can cut a minute out in the middle.
Yeah. I'll find some way.
Yeah.
We'll make it 44.
Done.
The police thing, get rid of that.
So there's 15 locations, soon to be 16, soon to be 20, soon to be 30, you know, if all goes well and around the world. So
ideally, we'd like a club opening up every 1 to 2 days. That's ideal.
Yeah.
You know, that it does, it can operate that way. It probably will. But we need infrastructure. There are things that need to happen before that happens.
Yeah.
And we're confident that we're getting the support we need.
Yeah.
And we rely on experts to come in and say, hey, this is what you need to be. Our expertise is this.
Yeah.
Is empowering people, telling them our story. We've got more stories to come when the time's right.
Mm.
And that's, we focus on what we're good at. And there's other people that are amazing at connecting the dots.
Yeah.
And coming from marketing and real estate, let the experts do what they're good at.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, don't try and do it all.
Yeah.
No,
this won't work.
Yeah. So go on Instagram, it's @the_440.
Yeah.
Website is soon to be
Soon. Yeah, it should be here in about 2 weeks. So hopefully, if you guys edit this for about a week, then we'll drop it in the website.
Well, yeah, by the time this goes live, that you will have a website.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Exactly. Yeah.
Perfect.
Because I was trying to do some research before you guys came in. I was like, these guys have a fucking website.
Yeah. Well, it's
it's hard to find.
Yeah.
It's
undercover.
We've literally done this from a phone. My phone barely works. So it is like, if you can sit with yourself and be comfortable with who you are, then for us, that's what's worked. People get the real version of us, whether they like it or not.
Yeah.
But we're better people for this.
Yeah.
You know? And we like to think that a lot of our members are better people, and they get better every week.
Oh, yeah.
They're evolving.
I mean, whoever goes for a run and is then pissed off afterwards. Like, no one ever.
You last week, we were sick.
Oh,
the bloke that comes back to a flat tyre in his car.
Never in Bronte.
No.
Well, thanks for coming, lads. I really appreciate you guys sharing your story, and I think it's motivated me. Like, I feel like I want to just get up and go for a run right now.
Cool.
And I'm sure people are listening, like, you want to put this down and go for a run. So,
I'm going to run home now.
You have to run home. So look up the 440 Instagram, because that's where it's all at the moment, and get to a run group. It's awesome.
Yeah. Create a run group. Get them in touch with these boys.
Yeah. Sick. Thanks for coming, lads. Thanks, really
boys.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, awesome. Boys.
Thank you.
Thanks, boss.
Yeah, boss.